The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football full circle here on the final day of the month of May. With June on the horizon, we begin a new week here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens alongside Joe Lisi. The unofficial kickoff of the summer months was our long holiday weekend over Memorial Day. Joe, how was your weekend away, my friend?
Doing fantastic, Ben. Memorial Day weekend was great. I caught up on some old games as well, going back to the mid-90s. This is what it's all about for me, the calm before the storm in terms of college and pro football. I love to watch those historic games, the tradition, the pageantry of college football. We're chomping at the bit. Less than 100 days away, baby. Let's get it on.
Less than 90 days away, only 88 days away are we, Joe Lisi, from the start of the 2022 college football season. At the end of last week, we were breaking down the early slate. The TV times, the TV network coverage out for a lot of those marquee matchups the first couple weeks of the college football season. We're only 88 days away from the start of week number zero, Saturday, August 27th. And as we get going in the summer months, this time's going to start to dwindle down rather quickly. We're going to get to summer workouts pretty soon. We're going to get to fall camp before we even know it. We're going to get to media days where we'll get to hear from coaches and programs and players all across the country. A small preview of that this week, Joe Lisi, at SEC League meetings in Destin, Florida, where we're hearing from some coaches around the Southeastern Conference early on this Tuesday morning, including one Kirby Smart. And of course, Joe, the entire conversation is going to be about the war of words just 2 weeks ago between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Nick, the head coach of Alabama, Jimbo, the head coach of Texas A&M, but they used to work with one another. Kirby Smart, Joe, as you know, another Nick Saban assistant. He said today that what Jimbo said about Nick was Mickey Mouse. You should put on the headset sometimes and hear what is really said among the coaching fraternity within the SEC. We're already having fun here, Lisi, in these summer months with college football.
Oh, I love it. I love it. They're all going after the mad scientist. That's what it's all about, right? Hit the old guy when he's maybe on a little bit of a regression. Coaches, we know, players do smack talk, and, you know, it's all part of the game. I have no problem with what Jimbo said. The problem that I have is that Nick initiated this whole, I want to say, you know, argument in terms of saying that Texas A&M bought the players because he didn't like the fact that he was number two. That's all it comes down to. Texas A&M had the number one ranked recruiting class in college football over Alabama. If Alabama was number one on the charts, do you really think Nick would have made those comments about Jimbo buying players in College Station? Absolutely not. It's all good as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? I like the debate. I like the arguments before we kick it off in late August. This is what it's all about. Let's get some controversy heading into the season.
Absolutely so. And speaking of Coach Nick Saban, he is now at the podium in Destin speaking at SEC League meetings, saying just a couple of minutes ago, "I've said everything I am going to say about this. I should have never mentioned any individual institutions. I've said that before." But furthering his thoughts, Joe, on name, image, and likeness. And we'll get to your point here in just a second, but some quotes coming down the wire from Nick Saban on this Tuesday morning. Saban saying, quote, "We need some kind of transparency in NIL deals to verify players are doing what they do to make money in NIL. I'm all for players making as much as they can make, but I also think we have to have some uniform, transparent way of doing that." I would agree with Coach Saban here. When you think about it, DC, I would agree with Nick Saban, because really what we're talking about here is those booster back collectives, right, that are offering up NIL, and I do that in air quotes here for our radio audience, but NIL, when they're really not marketing deals or something that has to do with the licensing of their name, image, and likeness, it's paying players to come to a school just given their talents on the football field. But if it's for NIL, that idea of profiting off your name, image, or likeness because you are a marketable commodity, we're all for that, as is Nick Saban.
No, absolutely. You make up and bring up great points. And I know Nick ultimately cares about the sport as well. The coaches love the game of college football. They don't want to see that change. And we're not talking about specific programs here. We're also talking about protecting the businesses and the sponsors that back these players, right? You don't want to just throw money at a player and then them play a year or two and then, or not even play at all and bolt the university to the program. So I do believe that there needs to be parameters in place to protect both sides. Nobody's upset about the kids making their money. It's how they make their money, and is it strictly for name, image, or likeness, or is it more, hey, come to Texas or come to Alabama because right, we're going to throw a boatload of money at you. And I don't know if you saw the SI article in terms of Lane Kiffin. He says that all high school kids care about now are, what is the NIL deal? What are you going to pay me? And now it's starting to trickle into high school. We saw that Texas, the state legislation, might pass an NIL deal to allow high school students to get paid for name, image, and likeness. We're going to get peewee kids paid in the next 10 months.
This is the future of where we're going. And in that Sports Illustrated conversation that Lane Kiffin had, he was tremendously transparent. And he had a great understanding, it seemed, Lisey, of the future landscape of college athletics, but specifically tied to the big money in college football. Lane said, listen, we try to act like this is not a professional sport. It's pro sports, however you want to define it. We continue looking around the college football landscape. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
FFC on a Tuesday. Football Full Circle, as it is known, live here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. We get our week started here on the final day of the month of May. Under 90 days away from the college football season. 88 to be exact. 100 days away, Lisi, exactly, to the start of the 2022 NFL campaign as well. Plenty of football as we go through these summer months, and football starts to move even more front and center in our lives, Joe. It's a good time to be talking football on Sports Grid Radio.
Oh, it is. I can't wait for this season. I have to be honest with you. Not just the college football season, but the NFL as well, in terms of the off-the-field moves, the drafts that we saw this past May, and obviously free agents and trades taking place. I will say that as I broke down college football over the weekend, Ben, and obviously previews have been coming out, I'm working on mine, I can't believe how many, like, 6- and 7-year seniors, especially at the quarterback position, are coming back for, like, respective teams. Like, Clayton Calhoun is still at Houston, right? Okay, Spencer Sanders is still at Oklahoma State. I mean, just certain quarterbacks that you would think are in college for like 8 years already are still playing college ball. It's amazing to me when you break down some of these teams to think about the veteran depth that they're going to have that can maybe potentially make their team challenge for a division or more importantly, college football playoff berth.
That's the kind of landscape we have now in college football with the COVID year and the extra eligibility that came with it. If you have any injury impacts as well, you'll have a lot of time to play college football throughout your career. I'm looking at the Big Ten West right now, Joe, because I just tweeted out something about Northwestern, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But you think of Tanner Morgan returning for Minnesota in the Golden Gophers and what he presents from an experience standpoint for PJ Fleck and that offense. It's probably my favorite team win total in the entirety of the Big Ten Conference, going over 7.5 wins for Minnesota, or the over of the 8.5 with Penn State, as we discussed last week on the show, Joe. But as we know right now, it's SEC League meetings in Destin, Florida. So we're hearing from some of the biggest coaches in the entirety of the sport, including Coach Nick Saban, who just 5 minutes ago, Joe, as I'm reading Heather Dinich's feed here on Twitter, one of the best college football coverages or writers in all of the country who works for ESPN, quoting Nick Saban by saying, quote, "I have no problem with Jimbo. I have no problem at all." It's something, Lisey, that you touched on. Nick Saban probably doesn't make the comments he makes now nearly 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday about Jimbo Fisher and buying his top-rated recruiting class in the history of college football if one of two things happens. Alabama has a better recruiting class ranking. That didn't happen. Or maybe even more importantly, Joe, if Jimbo Fisher was not the first former Nick Saban assistant to beat his former boss as an 18.5-point underdog last year in early October in College Station. Nick Saban doesn't like to lose, flat out point blank. So when that happens, he's going to be angry about it, and that's what I think we saw play out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he's getting up there in age. You know, it's not to take away from where Nick is in terms of this point in his career. The best modern day, if not college coach we've ever seen with 7 national championships, right? But the younger coaches, not just in college football, but just particularly in the SEC right now, he is now the hunted, right? Every day. Kirby Smart is there as well, right? Kirby's only 46. Lane Kiffin is 46. You have Brian Kelly, a younger coach. So it's a changing of the guard in terms of the landscape, in terms of the SEC. And now we saw a slight regression with Alabama not closing the door and knocking off Georgia in the national championship game, even though Nick has 6 with Alabama. Now Kirby and Georgia are the front runners again in the East. So it's Alabama and Georgia. And oh, by the way, here comes Jimbo. Yeah. He knocks you off outright last year in College Station. And you're talking about his team because he beat you in the recruiting trail as well. So Nick needs to get a leg up, and what better way to do it than to call out his counterparts? But in the way, I will say this, sometimes it could bite you in the ass.
Absolutely so. And let's think about this right now for A&M and Jimbo Fisher. They haven't really won much, right? On a big picture perspective, the reason Jimbo was paid one of the highest salaries ever at the time of his signing at A&M to be the head coach in College Station. They haven't gotten to the SEC championship game. They haven't gotten to the level that Aggie fans expect out of their football program, especially under the direction of Jimbo Fisher. But it's the needling that Jimbo is known for. And now, as we enter this new season, Jimbo Fisher has had a top 10 rated recruiting class each of the last 4 years. So that needs to start paying dividends from a talent perspective into actually winning big things at the college football level. But the reason it's important, Joe, is because the last time we have seen top-rated recruiting classes in the history of college football, each of the top 10 prior to A&M has reached a national championship game at the conclusion of their 4 years in that cycle. 7 of the top 10 rated recruiting class in history entering this year have won a national championship game. That's when the talent starts to pay off in the long term. We'll see when that starts to happen for Texas A&M. But we're getting more quotes all across the league from SEC league meetings, Joe. And Billy Napier, the first-year head coach coach now at Florida, who worked under Nick Saban as well, saying, quote, earlier today, Coach Saban was really good to me in my career. I certainly wouldn't be here without him. Winks, I'm not foolish enough to get commenting about that situation, knowing his place in the league and where he stands in the conference right now in his first year with Florida. It will be interesting, Joe, to see those teams in the SEC East Division try to knock off the top dogs, that being Georgia, teams like Florida, teams like Kentucky, teams like Tennessee, trying to rival UGA at the top of the East Division.
Yeah, but you know what? I think they have a pretty good shot in the sense of the quarterback play, right? Quarterback play is very critical in terms of college football. As the quarterback goes, so do your teams. It's very rare that you don't have a top-flight quarterback and really get above 500 for the most part. And when you look at all three of those teams that you mentioned, Anthony Richardson's a dual threat, a little unpolished in terms of a pocket passer, but has raw athleticism that could take it to the house anytime he touches the football. Fast forward and go to Knoxville with Josh Heupel in year number two, Hendon Hooker, one of the most prolific quarterbacks in college football last year, in basically three less games he played because he gave way to Joe Milton, right? So when you think about Hendon Hooker and his performance last year, 31 touchdowns, only three interceptions, and he could move the ball with his legs as well. That gives Tennessee a legitimate shot as well. And then when you look at the other team, Will Levis is potentially mentioned as the number one top quarterback back in next year's draft class. Can you imagine that? In Kentucky, and Mark Stoops having the best quarterback potentially in the SEC is absolutely mind-boggling to me.
It really is, but still, Georgia is minus 550 from an odds perspective as the hefty odds on minus money favorite to win the SEC East Division again. So they're minus 550. Bama's minus 400 out in the West. It seems as though we are destined, not in Destin, Florida this week, but destined to see Georgia and Alabama meet in the SEC championship game. But might there be an upheaval to that very status quo type of idea? A lot of things happening this week, Joe, at SEC league meetings. Not just the conversation about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and the war of words that was a couple of weeks back, but also, as we detailed last week, the idea of the ever-evolving landscape of college football. And as we have seen here from a few conferences this offseason, scrapping divisions, new scheduling formats to decide a conference champion. The SEC is at the forefront of this conversation as well, not only this year, Joe, but starting in a couple of seasons when Oklahoma and Texas join the Southeastern Conference, bumping the numbers in the SEC from 14 teams where it is currently to 16 schools. A super league of effect, Joe. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, because a couple of SEC athletic directors speaking out about the change in scheduling format we can expect to see in the SEC. Stay right here on Football Full Circle. We come back next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Right back here on Football Full Circle on this Tuesday, live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM, channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Hope you enjoyed the long holiday weekend, and now we are back talking football on the Sports Grid Radio Network. This week in Destin, Florida, SEC League meetings. Of course, Joe, a lot of the focus is on the drama between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, but a lot of the real focus should be on the potential change of scheduling formats ahead for the SEC and many other conferences in college football. Earlier this month, the NCAA FBS Oversight Committee changed their recommendations on what is needed to determine a conference champion. And that would change how conferences scheduled and thus formatted their conference championship games, really getting rid of the need for divisions. Just put your two best teams based on win percentage up against each other in a conference title game, and the winner of that game becomes your conference champion. So a lot will move, and a lot already has moved this summer in college football. The SEC discusses that very thing this week. And one SEC athletic director, speaking to the media earlier and in some conversation around the social media sites as well, saying the SEC, Joe, is not interested in pods when Oklahoma and Texas become member institutions in the SEC. Scheduling pod-type format instead of divisions is, if you have 16 teams like the SEC will in just a couple of years, you put four teams in pod A, four teams in pod B, four teams in pod C, and four teams in pod D, and there's different intricacies in terms of scheduling, crossover pod matchups, playing your pod every year, yada, yada, yada. It's just semantics at this point, but the SEC athletic director in this instance saying we are not discussing pods. The biggest question is keep the SEC at an eight-game conference schedule or bump it up to nine. All of this, Joe, semantics, but all of it stands to change here and might change the future landscape of college football.
Yeah, it's going to bring parity, hopefully, to some respective conferences. Hopefully, the ACC, the SEC, where we've seen top-heavy teams just challenge each and every year. So yep. Maybe the top to bottom will sort of elevate the bottom teams to really have parity within the conference. And here's the thing, too, and I'm with the SEC. I don't want to see pods. What I want to see, though, is I want to see those rivalry games maintained. But I also want to see, you know, the teams that haven't played for a period of time, especially in certain landscapes, I want to see those games scheduled. I don't want to wait 7 years. Like I mentioned, LSU hasn't traveled to South Carolina since 2008. We're in 2022 already. When's LSU going to make a trip to Columbia? You know, we talked about Alabama and Florida squaring off outside the SEC championship games where they had appearances. The last regular season game outside of last year was 2014. You got to wait 7 years for Alabama to go to the Swamp? I mean, that's ridiculous to me. So at the end of the day, let's keep the rivalry games, the ones that matter, right? Alabama, Auburn, we need to see that. We need to see LSU and Texas A&M, LSU and Alabama. But outside of that, let's get those crossover games from east to west. Let's mix it up and let's have some great matchups. I don't want to see Auburn and Alabama playing Citadel and Mercer week number 14.
Completely agree. The Big Ten Conference, also at 14 teams currently, the same number the SEC has right now, does play nine conference games. And when we speak about parity, the Big Ten is a great example of probably getting rid of divisions. Ohio State would be in the conference championship game if we look back at the past 6 years in the Big Ten Conference, all but last season, having lost to Michigan. In fact, they actually would have been there last year, but as the number two overall seed behind the Wolverines, having pulled off the upset last year in the game in that regular season finale. But Joe, the Big Ten went to the East and West division, starting with the 2014 college football season. That's 8 years. We have now seen a Big Ten championship game in this conference between the winner of the West and the winner of the East. All eight seasons, the champion from the East has won the Big Ten Conference outright. Ohio State has done it five of the 8 years, once for Michigan State, once for Penn State, and then once for Michigan last year over Iowa. But the Big Ten East division has reigned supreme in this conference. That's why you want to see your two best teams, based on winning percentage, play each other to decide a conference championship. But Joe, it also, I think, as you alluded to there, opens up the scheduling possibilities we could see in college football and brings a lot of fun into it. Last year, we knew that Alabama and Georgia were on a path to playing each other in the SEC championship game, but Alabama was struggling. And there was a time, even in the final 3 weeks of the regular season, it was not 100% crystal clear that Alabama was going to win the SEC West, given their struggles at the end of last college football season. Thankfully, we got to see that game in the SEC championship game, and we saw Bama emerge victorious before Georgia got its revenge, ultimately with the bigger prize in the national championship game. But how great would it be to see the two best teams in the SEC on a year-in, year-out basis in Alabama and Georgia play each other in the regular season? That game would dominate headlines for weeks leading into it. It would be a game that both fans of the Tide and the Dogs circled as soon as the schedule became available. It adds flexibility. It adds intrigue. I'm a fan of getting rid of some of these divisions and opening that up in college football.
and it would be an elimination game early, depending upon when they played it, whether it be earlier in the year or later in the year, in terms of knocking one of those teams out from contention from a college football playoff berth or potentially an SEC championship. And you know what? I'm all for it. Alabama, Georgia, they recruit better than anybody. They should have to play a tough schedule. There shouldn't be, you know, the three games off per se. And I understand why they do it. You know, the SEC, you could bash them all you want, but they do a great job in terms of scheduling early on top 25 battles, right? We see Oregon and Georgia taking place. We see Alabama and Texas squaring off. So they don't duck the early season games. What they do is, as the season wears on and there is attrition and, let's say, players getting banged up, they do typically take the week off prior to their rivalry games, right? Now, if they have an elimination game, you know, best team in the East right now and best team in the West, right, Alabama and Georgia, and they square off in October, whichever team loses is going to have a very difficult track getting back to either an SEC championship or a college football playoff. But that's what makes the sport so special, is that we have these elimination games and hurdles throughout the season without a preseason, without a way to backdoor into the playoffs. And that's what we want, ultimately. And I'll say this, the Big Ten does a fantastic job. They do not play FCS opponents. They do play a group of five teams in terms of the MAC and other schools that they schedule, but they don't have that FCS opponent that potentially the SEC can schedule another opponent on their schedule, not pay the million and a half to these schools to get the W and make it a little bit harder.
And they play those nine conference games, the nine-game conference slate, and it adds intrigue at every step of the journey, because when you're playing the best teams in your conference on a weekly basis, or you're playing teams that your fan base is incredibly familiar with that you play year in and year out, it is so much better and it creates so much drama for your regular season schedule. It's why we love what we love in college football. We love to see it early and often. The first game, or one of the first games, I should say, of the college football season is Nebraska and Northwestern. Out in Dublin, Joe, week zero, Saturday, August 27th. I do want to bring up this point to you and give me your thoughts here. We'll transition to the NFL in our next segment, but we'll end with this and any continued updates we get from SEC league meetings and Destin, we will bring you throughout the week. But Northwestern, Joe, is an incredibly intriguing team to me because the Big Ten will keep its divisions, it seems, at least for this year in 2022. Northwestern's last 4 years in the conference, 2018 and 8-4 regular season, Big Ten West divisional champions. 2019, a down year, 3-9. They bounce back in the weird 2020 campaign, go 6-1 in that compacted regular season, win the Big Ten West. Last year in 2021, they go 3-9. So they've gone 3-9 two of the 4 years. The other 2 years they've won the Big Ten West. They went 3-9 last year. Maybe they bounce back for a Big Ten West title this year under Pat Fitzgerald in 2022. I'm not so sure it's going to happen, Joe, but they're 101 to win the Big Ten West division right now on FanDuel. Plus 10,000. Might be worth a sprinkle.
It might be, and, you know, Pat Fitzgerald's a great coach. Now, they did struggle a couple of years ago in terms of stretching defenses over the top. A couple of years ago when they had Hunter Johnson, one of the worst prolific offenses in terms of passing yards per game, they ranked at 127 yards per game. With Ryan Helinski at the helm this year, they're going to have to take it to the next level. I mean, when Northwestern is efficient, they run the football, they force turnovers, and they rely on a very solid front seven. They struggle when they fall behind. Look at Michigan State last year. Yeah, Hunter Johnson chucked for over 300, but they were trailing by 21 points in the second half of that matchup. So they cannot fall behind. That's where Northwestern typically struggles. We'll see if Scott Frost and Nebraska could put the pressure on them early on in week number one in Dublin, because they're already an 11-point favorite right now early on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They need Helinski to take the next step. And wide receivers are concerned, Ben. They don't have a lot of speed on the perimeter. They're more of a methodical offense, so that's the one concern under Patty Fitz this year. But I think they could get back to 500.
Yeah, they might, and they very well might. Their team win total right now is 4.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Can you imagine the pressure that Pat would put on Scott if the Cats can win outright as an 11, 11.5 point underdog that first week? boy, oh boy. And Lincoln would be nuts. We come back on Football Full Circle with NFL Talk up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle continues on here on this Tuesday on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens alongside Joe Lisi. We're rocking and rolling on this Tuesday, the last day in the month of May. June 1st is tomorrow on a Wednesday, but it's the first day of our new week here following the long holiday weekend. And Joe, we're getting some news out of the NFL. A couple of news and notes to bring you here on this Tuesday morning. Now, Aaron Donald, a part of the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams, has said often that he would be at peace walking away from football at this time. At the age of 31, still very much at his peak and somehow seems to get better each and every year, has been looking for a new contract with the LA Rams. He has signed through the 2024 season, but has no guaranteed money left on his deal. So he is looking for some money to be a part of this Rams organization. And Aaron Donald did say at the Super Bowl parade that he is still here. He still wants to run it back with the Super Bowl champs. But he said on the I Am Athlete podcast, Joe, over the weekend that came out actually on Monday, he said that I am at peace with his career if he and the Los Angeles Rams can't agree to a new deal. How much stock do you put in this right now?
I think I put a 50-50 right now. And the reason why I say that is because he did win a Super Bowl title last year. And at the end of the day, he's taking a constant beating, being a front seven type of player. I mean, you're constantly getting double teamed. Your body does take abuse at the point of attack on every single play. You can't avoid contact when you're an offense or defense alignment. So at the end of the day, judging from his comments and judging from the fact of where the team is and what he said in terms of the Super Bowl speech, I sort of believe him. Now, you know, obviously the one outlier and game changer is money. We know money drives the bus, Ben, and if the LA Rams bucked up and threw a ton of money at Aaron Donald and did extend him and give him more money than he could possibly imagine, yeah, I think he stays, no doubt. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'll say this. For the LA Rams to win back-to-back Super Bowl titles, they'll need Aaron Donald to be at elite form this coming season.
Yeah, absolutely they will. The reason that I'm high on Los Angeles entering this year is there's a lot of uncertainties around the other three teams in the NFC West, although the talent is certainly there on paper for the Niners and potentially for the Cardinals if they can iron out their contract disputes with Kyler Murray. We're not really too worried about the Seattle Seahawks at this moment. That, yes, there's some talent there to compete with the Rams in this division, but I have a ton of questions about San Francisco. I have even more questions about Arizona. And LA actually got better this offseason, although they didn't do all the crazy things we have seen throughout this NFL offseason. And Von Miller did leave, and Andrew Whitworth has retired. They brought in Bobby Wagner on the defensive side of the football, who could still certainly play at the linebacker spot, even where he is in his career. And they brought in Allen Robinson on the other side to fill in as that second weapon outside of Cooper Kupp, in replacement, most likely, of OBJ. So I think the Rams actually got better. Their plus 140 price in the NFC West is a really good value spot in my mind. But if they don't have Aaron Donald, Joe, that changes everything. Aaron Donald, as a defensive tackle, often, Joe, those guys don't really move numbers, whether it's a futures price or maybe a weekly spread within the NFL. But I would say that if Aaron Donald were to retire, if he can't come to a contract extension, that number on the Rams would move to plus 140, plus 175. It would actually move in the absence of Aaron Donald within the NFC West. I'm not sure a retirement decision is imminent. Again, he is under contract until 2024. But that being said, he's looking for that guaranteed. He's looking for that stability with Los Angeles, and hopefully he gets so.
Right, and think about this. You know, L.A. won that Super Bowl on their defense. Their defense stepped up and stopped Joe Burrow on the final drive of the Super Bowl last year. They won the game against Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. When the season was on the line, it was the front seven and Aaron Donald that turned that game over, both of those games over, to allow Matt Stafford to hoist the trophy, right? So at the end of the day, he is one of the most important pieces to a defense ever, I think, in terms of when we look at particular teams moving forward and in terms of divisional odds. If Aaron Donald is not a part of that L.A. Rams defense, let's just say this year, I don't even know if they're front runners to win the division. Do you believe that? Yeah. I don't.
It would be incredibly, incredibly difficult to predict, honestly, because there's a lot of love in the market, I think, Joe, for San Francisco, for the Niners, but a lot of that, in my mind, is dependent on their quarterback play in the second-year quarterback now in Trey Lance, who doesn't have a bevy of experience by any means in the NFL. And when I look to the Rams, yeah, you lose a defensive tackle, but it's Aaron Donald. He's an all-pro year in, year out. He'd probably win Defensive Player of the Year every year if it wasn't for voter fatigue and just trying to switch it up a little bit. Because guys like T.J. Watt might go out there and get more sacks off the edge, but nobody game plans as much for a specific player as you do across the league for Aaron Donald. His impact at times might not show up in the stat sheet, but it's because he's being double and triple teamed, allowing his other edge rushers like Leonard Floyd or like Von Miller throughout that postseason run go make some plays on the edge. Aaron Donald has that much impact, and I think would impact the odds, Joe, if he were to step away. I don't think he's stepping away right now in the NFL, but maybe something to monitor moving forward. As we look at some other deals, Joe, the Cleveland Browns back into the headlines a couple of days ago, right before we got underway on this Memorial Day holiday weekend. The Cleveland Browns and their tight end, David Njoku, who they had franchise tag initially, agreeing to a new deal. 4 years, nearly $57 million, 28 of that guaranteed. Another piece of that offensive puzzle that has led to some optimism on the Cleveland Browns. Of course, Cleveland booked as one of the co-favorites right now, Joe, at plus 200 alongside the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. And that offense, it would seem, will be expected to do a lot if and when Deshaun Watson plays for them at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We know the front seven by Myles Garrett is one of the best in the AFC. Can they carry the Cleveland Browns to a potential division title if Deshaun Watson is out any period over six games or more? Because that's going to be the concern. Whether you people and bettors put money on Cleveland this year, you have to think about it. Can the running game with Chubb and Hunt carry it without the quarterback position? And can the defense step up enough until Deshaun Watson is there? And then when Deshaun Watson is there, Ben, you still have to worry about rust, quarterback to wide receiver relationship, getting acclimated with the offense. I mean, what does this look like right now? I mean, if he's suspended and let's just say 6 to 8 games, I can't put money on Cleveland to even make the playoffs this year. There's no way. I'd rather take a wait and see approach, see right where they're at in the middle of the season, see if Deshaun Watson comes back. Can I get a good price? There is no reason to lay money down on any bet with the Cleveland Browns when you don't know where their quarterback of the future is going to be.
It's funny, Joe, that we talk about these two divisions right now, two of the biggest contract-type headlines in the National Football League over the last couple of days, because both in the NFC West, as we just discussed with the Rams, and the hypothetical of Aaron Donald leaving, but again, I don't expect that to be the case for this upcoming 2022 campaign. The Rams in the West at plus 140, one of my favorite divisional bets in the futures market from an NFC perspective. In the AFC, one of my favorite divisional bets is the Cincinnati Bengals to win the AFC North once again at plus 210 because of some questions maybe around Baltimore. Hopefully a healthy Lamar Jackson can get the Ravens back to where they want to be, but more so because of the question marks around the Cleveland Browns. And again, when you're booked as a co-favorite, Joe, to win your division, that's a regular season ticket. That's a regular season number. You have to perform well enough in the regular season to have an opportunity at your divisional crown. It's not winning an AFC championship. It's not being in contention for a Super Bowl. Both of those happen in the postseason. It's the regular season number at plus 200. That makes no sense to me. How are you going to bet a team, Lisey,
and I know you are not, but how are you, the general you out there, going to bet a team in the Cleveland Browns to win a regular season divisional title when they don't even have a team win total or make playoff odds posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook? That says to me the book is fearful. It is nervous about the availability Deshaun Watson will have in 2022. And based on the personal conduct policy, Joe, as we have seen with past precedent, it's probably going to be somewhere in the range of 4 to 8 games. That could be a third of your season in the regular campaign if you're the Cleveland Browns. I'm not going to bet them right now, and I will not even be intrigued by that idea here anytime soon.
And think about this, too. With the win total not being up and the playoff not being up, divisional winner being up, it's to suck people in to get Deshaun Watson money, right? People see Deshaun Watson with the Cleveland Browns, and they automatically bet the Cleveland Browns to win the division, right? It has nothing to do in terms of win totals. That's the one impulse bet people can make because they're not thinking, oh, it's just, you know, not win total. They just got to win the division. Yeah, Deshaun is there. But then all of a sudden they think, oh, wait, is he suspended? Isn't he suspended? This is the one bet the books could put out there because it doesn't matter who's quarterback. They can't pull it back from a win total or adjust it, right, because it's just divisional odds. So if they put them or price them as a front runner, they know they're going to suck the public in because of those that just want to back Deshaun Watson in any way, shape, or form because he's a marquee quarterback. That's the impulsive bet that the books put out there to suck in and grab Cleveland Browns money.
Lisi's spot on, right? The books hang future odds, especially one based on their power ratings and their models and what they believe can be an expectation or an indication of what is most likely to play out during a new 2022 NFL season. That's half the game. Half of it also is to garner interest, is to get wagers, is to have a betting handle, an exposure on a certain thing. It's not just this year, Lisi, that the Cleveland Browns now have acquired Deshaun Watson and how many games he might play this year in 2022. The Cleveland Browns have been booked with relative optimism, it seems, for each of the last 3 or 4 years when it was Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry on offense, and look how good they were going to be. And then they add in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and Myles Garrett's a freak on the other side of the football. They've been booked as a favorite or one of the favorites to win an AFC North for a while with a team that seemed destined to make the postseason for the last couple of seasons in the NFL. So it's also that plus 200 price, although they don't have those other betting markets available for the Ravens, the Bengals, or the Steelers, to garner in a handle. And Lisi, I think you are spot on in your assessment of that, but I think we're trying to advise here, Joe, that we're not going to be a part of that handle anytime soon.
No, there's no need to chase because even if, let's say, Deshaun Watson doesn't play 6 to 8 games, and let's say they limp through the first half of the season, they're going to be definitely more than 2 to 1 to win the division, especially if they're 500 or less, right? Then you could take the shot when Deshaun Watson comes in, whether he's rusty or not, at 5 to 1 or maybe 4.5 to 1. That's worth the value at that particular time in the second half of the season. No reason to reach up and get them at 2 to 1 right now because then what you're suggesting is that they run the table with the absence of Deshaun Watson, meaning they go 6-2, let's say the first half of the season, which to me seems out of the realm of possibility right now.
And that's a really, really good point as well, Lisi, that you make right here. And that's a wonderful handicapping breakdown of how to approach any futures market that you will see, NFL, college football, or otherwise. But of course, our focus always remains on football. We end out the show on the other side of the break here on Sports Grid Radio and Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Yeah, you are. Football Full Circle here on a Tuesday live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and all across Sports Grid Radio as well. Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. We end out this show in just a couple of moments here, Joe. But one final thing we need to discuss. Are we getting any final updates from SEC League meetings and all of these coaches being at the podium and sharing their thoughts in front of a microphone for the first time in a while, at least a couple of them, outside of maybe Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher? Nick has already been at the podium today. We look forward to when Jimbo will join the fun a little bit later this afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, and also keep an eye out for Mike Leach and Brian Kelly. Now, I did see Kelly tell somebody, I don't know if he actually came out, I want to beat Nick Saban. So all of a sudden, Brian Kelly getting in the mix in terms of bashing Nick Saban in Alabama. He's going to get a shot, right? He's going to get a shot in early November. Yep. So it's in Baton Rouge. LSU already a 16-point dog, but got a lot of offensive talent. You got Miles Brennan, Jaden Daniels, Kayshon Booty, Jarae Jenkins. Ooh, baby. Maybe that's going to be some matchup late or early November. I can't wait.
We're going to hear from a lot of these players and a lot of these coaches here this week. And then we'll hear from players in just about a month and a half for SEC Media Days. A lot will go into the ever-evolving structure of the SEC right now, Joe, but it's a good time. It's a good time to be loving college football. Again, the favorites to win the SEC this year, to claim a conference championship, Alabama at -150. Georgia, the second best price at +150. And then A&M Joe at 12 to 1. How about your Ole Miss boys at 40 to 1? Any love quickly?
Yeah, Jackson Dart, baby, gives them a shot. He gives them a shot. I can't wait.
You know Lane Kiffin's going to be entertaining at SEC League meetings as well. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for Football Full Circle on this Tuesday. The Money Line with Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh is up next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.